Hey, as we're gathered here this morning, one of the neat things about being in a church corporate gathering is that we might find things that we have in common that would put us in certain groupings. Like, for instance, depending on what state you were born in, you all would fit into a group. So how many of you were born in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? A lot of hands. How many of you were born in Maryland? Couple. How many in New York State? How many in some state other than those mentioned or another country? See, now we're talking about Georgia right here, right? Okay. We could even ask, like, okay, where's the ladies in the room? The females in the room? Let's hear you. Let's see your hands. All right. The fellas in the room? Hey. Oh. Yeah, okay. All right. How many of you do your primary shopping at Giant? How many at Weiss? How many at Aldi? How many at somewhere else? Like, why did the Aldi people get excited right there? I don't know. All right. How many of you filled out a March Madness basketball bracket? Only a few. Of you who raised your hand, how many of you, your winner is still in play? How many of you are winning the Emmanuel Church office staff pool right now? Oh, I'm so... Oh, I'm the only one in that group. Yeah, okay. Just keeping it real. All right, how many of you have ever played pickleball before? Oh, there's a good group of you. How many of you have ever played golf on a real golf course before? How many of you have ever had your nails done professionally? How many of you have been to City Island in Harrisburg? Okay, so hey, here we go. We got some, you got people. Hopefully you looked around during all that, but conceivably it's possible to have a female born in Pennsylvania who shops at Weiss, who has a winning bracket, who got her nails done at a golf course on her way to City Island. Is there anyone in that group? No? Okay, all right. God has gone to great lengths to bring us into a grouping of his own. Right? So before, we were just like everybody else. We were lost in sin. As Scripture says, dead in sin. No hope, no future. But because of what Christ has done, he has brought us into his family. He's made us alive in Christ. He's given us his hope and his future. He's given us his great promises, and we are his people. In fact, as we just had read over us in these minutes earlier, this is who we are in Christ. Isn't it incredible who we are in Christ? We've been made into his people, and we are chosen, and we are loved, and we are adopted, and we have a very high calling from God. And we're going to look at that this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're not there already, I encourage you to open up your Bible or your app and get there to look at the scriptures together with me from 1 Peter 2. We're going to look at some of the most famous verses in this whole book. Short and sweet, but powerful verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Follow along as I read them. Listen for our identity in Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And what we're going to do this morning is unpack the first four statements that are like four layers of an amazing cake. Most cakes only have like two layers. We get a four-layer cake this morning of who we are in Christ. And then we're going to see how do we live in light of that, in this high calling we have from God. So just like if you live in Pennsylvania, this is who you are. You should know that in March it could snow on Wednesday, but be 83 degrees on Saturday, right? How do you live in light of who you are? Embrace who he has made you in Christ. And so we're going to look at those this morning. The first one of those phrases says, you are a chosen people. Other translations might say you are a chosen race or a chosen generation. Those are all accurate translations of this word, but the idea is that we are the offspring of a chosen family line. In the United States here, we know of some very prominent and famous families that we have in politics or in business. So you could think of like the Kennedys. You know, if your last name is Kennedy, I don't know if we have anyone in our church with the last name Kennedy, but if you're part of that family, like it's like, oh, they're a Kennedy, right? You get that kind of, there's a certain pedigree, a certain fame. You got your Vanderbilts and your Rockefellers, right? If you have that last, if you're a Rockefeller, people go, oh, you're rich. They would just assume that of you because it's part of your family. Or if you're part of the Waltons, they might assume that you're part of a 70s and 80s family TV show, or that your family owns Walmart and Sam's Club, and you're now the richest family in the United States of America. Folks, we are part of a chosen family line that has a certain pedigree, a certain status that God has brought us into. God, our Father, has brought us into. Christ is our brother. You may know in Israelite history that it was very important to know your genealogy. If a Jew can know, well, I'm part of this family and this tribe, this clan, and trace back to one of the 12 tribes of Israel and trace back to Abraham, that was important to them. There was a chosen family line. But in Christ, we now are also part of a chosen family line. It's the one in Christ. So we are a chosen people. The next thing that it says is that we are a royal priesthood. Those are two words that did not go together in Israel's history. You would not have royal priests. Let's talk about that for a minute. The royal lines of kings were of many different tribes. In fact, the first king of Israel was King Saul, and he was from the tribe of Benjamin, those who know your Bible trivia. The next king was David, who was from the tribe of Judah, and all of his line after that were reigning in the southern kingdom, and then David's grandson messed things up, and then kingdom split. There was a northern kingdom, and there was a bunch of kings from several different tribes of the northern 10 tribes. And so they were the kings. There was royal blood in those other tribes, but there was one tribe that didn't have that opportunity. They were the ones who served the people as priests and served the people as the intermediaries between them and God. What tribe was that? Levi. You would have kings of a certain family line, and then you would have priests, but never one and the same. However, David did, as the king of Israel, do some priestly things at times, and he kind of blurred those lines, and in doing so, he foreshadowed the great royal priest, Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Messiah from the tribe of Judah, and he reigns forevermore. And he was also our great high priest who went before us and offered himself as the sacrifice once and for all for our sins, and still is the one who intercedes for us yet today. So Jesus is our great King and priest. But look at this title we are given. We're a royal priesthood. That means that you and I, as we are in this chosen family, are now part of the royal lineage of Christ. That we are sons and daughters of the King. And in doing so, we become princes and princesses who will reign with Christ forever. It says in Revelation 5:10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. That will be true in heaven in the first 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ on earth. We will get to reign with him. What an amazing thought. My dad told me when I was a kid that if 500 people died instantly, someone in my family would be the King of England. It hasn't happened yet. And I'm not sure I believe him, but somewhere in our family line is a little bit of royal blood of England. I'm not a king. I'm not a prince. But you and I in Christ are princes and princesses who will reign with Christ. But not only that, as we are royal with Christ, but we are priests, it says. Last week, we looked at the verses just prior to this, verses 4 through 8. And verse 5 specifically was the verse that outlined how we are living stones who are built together to be the temple of God, where he dwells in our presence, in our midst, and that we are also priests who serve in that temple. Do you remember the message last week? We talked about how there are ways that we can bring acceptable sacrifices, as it says in verse 5. There are three kinds that we found from different places in Scripture that tells us in Romans 12:1 that we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. We offer ourselves. We had seen also that we offer our prayers to God and they go up before him like incense, and he collects them, it says in Revelation chapter 5. He collects our prayers and they are an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. We talked about how we offer our praise to God in Hebrews 10, that the fruit of our lips as we confess his name, it is a sacrifice of praise to God. There are roles that we have as priests unto God to minister to his name. And then we got to spend some time in worship last week together at the end, just giving him our praise. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I loved that time, and we're going to do it again today. We're going to be coming before the Lord here in a few minutes and just giving him our praise and our worship as royal priests unto God. I'll also tell you, we're going to splash around in that because we only have so much time today, but tonight at Encounter, we're going to soak and dive headfirst into the river of his presence and get to just worship him this entire night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I really want to encourage you to come. If you've never been to Encounter before, what it is it's a very free environment for you to be able to sing or to sit and reflect or to stand up and walk around. We're going to take out the back half of the chairs. There'll be a lot of room and space for you to move where you want to go. There'll be a couple different interactive stations of ways you can worship the Lord. And the music and the prayer times we're going to have will just be very Spirit-led, and we're going to just be in God's presence together. There's something that happens in our souls when we step into our created purpose as the royal priesthood of God. In fact, King David, in 1 Chronicles 25, there's a recording of how he commissioned some entire family clans to be worship leaders, to make music before the Lord round the clock. They were to write music, play music, sing music unto the Lord all through the day, all through the night. They took shifts and we were on different times, and they had continuous praise and worship before God at all times. And they ministered before the Lord and to the Lord, it says. I remember reading that a couple years ago going, man, what does that look like for us to even like dabble a little bit into this role that we have? And so we started creating this thing called Encounter. We've done a 12-hour one. We've done a couple of 2-hour ones. Tonight's a 2-hour one. And we're just going to come before the Lord. I really want to invite you to come tonight. Just be in his presence. No agenda, no expectation that you've got to do X, Y, or Z. Just come and just sit before him. Minister to him tonight as a royal priest. It's your role. It's who we are. It's how we live in light of who we are. The next one in this list is that we are a holy nation. The word for nation here is the word ethnos. And the Jews would have called all non-Jews Gentiles. Non-Jews. Or they would describe the places they live as ethnos. The people groups of the world who don't know the Lord, who are not walking with him, don't have his law, don't have his covenant. They're the peoples of the world. God took that term and said, I'm gonna flip that on its head. As I come and as I rescue people from these places of the world, I'm gonna bring them together into my ethnos, a holy nation set apart for me. And what that means for you and I is wherever you were born, whatever state it was in, whatever country it was in, whatever your birth certificate says, whatever your driver's license says, whatever your passport says, you are now a citizen of heaven. And that identity, that nationality, that citizenship supersedes any other identity you have. You are now part of his holy nation. And the last one is this, that we are a people belonging to God. Now, what you can't see in the English here is that there is a play on words. There's a contrast. The last one was the ethnos of all the other nations of the world, and God redeemed that. This one has the word people as the word laos, which is what the Jews would have referred to as themselves, the holy nation. Like a university might claim to be the Ohio State University. This is, we're the only ones, right? This is what the claim is. The Jews would have claimed that as well. We are God's people. We are the ones who are his people. And God had reinforced it. He had told them so. In fact, in Exodus 19, it's when God called Moses to come up Mount Sinai after he had drawn them out of slavery and across the Red Sea and into the wilderness, and he provided for them with manna on the ground and water from a rock. And he said, Moses, come up to this mountain and tell the people that if they will obey my law, if they will keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, the Greek translation of that is ethnos, out of all the nations of the world, they will be my people, my treasured possession. You can go read it. Exodus 19:5. God spoke that over the Jews. Now God's saying, I've expanded the borders. And all who have been rescued out of slavery, who have been brought through the Red Sea of sin and death, who have been provided by my manna of my word, if they're in the new covenant, they are my people, my treasured possession. Folks, God is crazy about us. He calls us his special possession, belonging to God. This would be the kind of idea that if your house was on fire and you had time to run into the house and grab one thing, what would that thing be? Maybe it would be your dog or your cat. Then that's your treasured possession. Maybe it's your photo albums. Maybe it's your golf clubs. I don't know, whatever it is. Do you have something in mind? What would you run back into the house to get if you could only get one thing? For God, he would run into the house and grab you. You are his treasured possession. And it's given him great delight to rescue you, to make you his own, to say, you are mine, you belong to me. Folks, this is our identity of who we are now in Christ. We're the part of the chosen family line of God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his treasured possession. How incredible is that? None of us deserve it. And how did we get here? Not by anything we did. All we did in life was make a mess. He gave us life, and then we made a mess with it. Yesterday, I was here at the spring market. I'm not talking about a mess at spring market. I'm talking about how we heard fire trucks as we were about to leave spring market. And they were just tearing down the road here, heading down towards Sheets. And we thought, wow, that's a lot of fire trucks. And so we got in the car, we're driving home, and we saw the whole intersection of Market Street and Cumberland Parkway shut down. I don't know if any of you saw this, if you heard the fire trucks. And there was a truck that had tipped over on its side coming down the big hill, and it turned right onto Cumberland Parkway too fast, and it tipped over. Thankfully, there was no car there for it to smash. It was a tanker truck that contained sewage. I saw on the news this morning that's what it was. I couldn't quite tell what it was when we drove by, but the firemen were feverishly running around trying to clean it up. They were blocking the drains for it not to go down. There was stuff running down the roads. That tanker truck guy made a mess. In fact, he was trapped inside of his truck. They had to get him out. Do you think that tanker truck guy could have gotten himself out as injured as he was? He was okay, but maybe he had some injuries. Get out of the truck, clean everything up, and then turn his truck back the right way. The guy didn't have a chance. In a million years, he couldn't have done that. He needed help. Folks, that's us. We're the sewer truck that tipped over and has made a mess of our life. Only by the mercy and grace of God can any of us be put back right. Look at verse 10. It's a verse that tells us that once we weren't a people. We were lost. We were by ourselves, but now we are the people of God. Once we hadn't received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the grace of God in our lives. And not only has he done that for us and cleaned it up, he says, I'm not just cleaning up your mess, now I'm taking you into my family. And I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a title. I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to give you a belonging. I'm going to give you a citizenship. I'm going to make you my treasured possession. That's what he's done for you. That's what he's done for me. If you're in Christ, if you've received Christ as Savior, you've gotten the world. You've gotten everything of the heart of God given to you. All the blessings in Christ. It's an amazing thought. Amazing teaching. So how do we live into that? How do we embrace that? Well, verse 9 tells us we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that. There's a so that in this verse. What do I want you to do? Well, pay attention. Listen to this, God says, so that you may declare the praises of him, or the excellencies of him, depending on your translation, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The darkness and light theme is another summary of what he's done. This is who you were. This is who you are now. But our purpose is to declare the praises of him. The word declare here, it's a really cool word in Greek. It's called ex angelo. Now, this word has a prefix, ex, but the main word is angelo. That's the verb form, or angelos is the noun form. In English, do you know of a word that sounds like angelos? Like Los Angeles, but it's the city of angels. In Greek, the word angelos is a word we have for angel. But really what that word means is messenger. That's what angels are. They're messengers of God sent to the world, and they serve him and do what he asks them to do. So this word is a message that we are brought into God's light so that we can declare, give the message of his praises. But it also has the prefix X in front of it. What that does is it just hypes it up times like 100. Let me give you the historical context. This word in ancient culture meant that if the king made a declaration, there would be a messenger who would come to a town. Now, if he was just the angelos messenger, he would go and meet with a few people and tell them the message of the king. But if he was the ex angelos, he would go into the town and he would unwrap the scroll, and he would begin to proclaim, hear ye, thus says the king. And he would declare it to the whole town publicly and openly. This is our job. We are ex angelos. We are proclaiming publicly the praises, the excellencies of our God to whoever will hear. And who is that? I'm going to apply this to say we do this in three directions. We declare God's praises to the world, we declare his praises to each other, and we declare his praises to himself. I want to actually invite someone, a couple, to come forward. Their names are Steve and Gina Thomas. You guys come on up here to the front. And I want them to share, I've invited them to share about a ministry they've been doing for about the last year and a half, getting to declare the excellencies of our God. And they're, come on up, guys. They've been part of our church for about 4 months or so. Since October, 4 or 5 months. And so we love having them here. They're in our membership class now, which is awesome. How about everybody say hi to Steve and Gina? And Steve and Gina say, hi, church family. So you guys are doing a ministry down in Harrisburg on Saturday mornings. It's not a ministry that a church has told you to do. It's like you guys and some friends saying, hey, let's go do this. So can you tell us about that? What do you do on Saturday mornings?
Okay, so it's early Saturday afternoons we meet. And this actually started, we serve alongside a couple, Mark and Evelina Putt, who originally came up to my wife and asked her if she had interest in doing this. And my wife is very eager to serve. Me, not so much. And when she came to me and talked to me about this ministry, I was really hesitant. And but she convinced me. So now we are part of a ministry called the Bread Ministry, and we serve right in the center of Harrisburg, where the CATA buses pull in, so we have a captive audience right there. We set up a table. We offer them a physical need of maybe like bread, water, something we make, clothing, if it's needed. But we use that to be able to approach people in a friendly way, to be able to talk to them about Jesus. So it's not about the physical need, it's about the spiritual need. And something that's said a lot during that time is we are the hands and feet of Jesus. So when we go up to talk to people, we offer them something, and then that helps them maybe to trust us that we're not there to take advantage of them. And then we talk to them about the Lord if they're willing to listen. So it's a simple ministry. I'm not going to say it's easy sometimes. Yeah, you know, you meet all kinds of people, but it's extremely rewarding, and it's a blessing, and we're so thankful that God has us a part of this. And so we want to, you know, let other people know about it, so maybe they can partake of the blessing and tell others about Christ.
Yeah, awesome. So I had the time wrong. You're go ahead.
Okay.
Give us, so it's Saturday early afternoons. That's awesome. So you guys have been doing this for a little while. You've probably run into people. You probably had some really cool conversations with people. So can you tell us a story of someone that you got to interact with and got to declare God's praises to them?
Sure. First, I'm going to start with this. I'm usually very shy, sometimes a little awkward. So whatever happens is all God. So like I just give him 100% the glory, because it's not easy. You know, you're talking to people that you don't know, but it's like the Holy Spirit just takes over. I'm like, what did I just say? So it's all him. So the week before that, we went to a different spot. So sometimes we go to the same spot, but the guy that we went with, he's like, let's just try something else. And there was this lady that was in her house, in her porch, she was smoking. She seemed kind of lonely. And I was like, I told Brother Mark, like, we should bring her some bread or something. He's like, yeah, go. I'm like, no. I'm saying, like, you go. And then he's like, no, let's go. So he basically dragged me, and I went, and, you know. But I just offered her a prayer, and I just started praying for her. And the Lord would put words in my mouth. I couldn't even repeat to you what I said. And when I opened my eyes, this lady is just bawling. And at first, she, like, when I asked her, she was like, yeah, whatever. Like, you want to pray? Like, she wasn't really into it. But when she opened her eye, when we both opened our eyes, she's like crying. She opened up to me. She said her she found her mom a while back dead in her house. Then her dad abandoned her, and that she didn't have any friend, and that she was very lonely. And just to see the Lord working in that way was very moving to me. It's almost like I was seeing from outside. And I said to her, I remember saying, you know, God loves you so much that he came to your porch to tell you that he loves you. And we just continue talking. Sometimes the Lord is like, go ahead, tell her the gospel. And I just, you know, I did. And she prayed. She asked Jesus to save her. And, you know, all glory to the Lord. Amen. And, you know, I wasn't expecting that, but he always does it. And not me, but all him. So he can use anyone.
Amen. That's cool, isn't it? That's awesome. Praise God. All right, now I want to ask you a why question. Why would you do this? What's your heart? What's your motivation to want to go and meet people on the streets and, you know, sometimes face rejection or sometimes, you know, just your own nerves? But why would you do that?
Well, I think the best explanation would be Scripture. And it says here in John 4:19, we love because he first loved us.
Yeah, awesome.
And that's why we do it. And when you allow God to work through you and you see his love for me personally, it changes your perspective when you look at people. A lot of times we look at people in a worldly way. And we don't really see the need in people. We just kind of identify them as what they do in life, or if you're sitting there at the red light and you have to look over somebody and say, oh, I wonder what they're doing or whatever. You're not really getting too deep into it. But what happens is when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, you start to see people in a different way. You start to see them in an eternal way. Every one of us is going to end up somewhere. And when I look at people, I notice that God is changing my perspective. Sometimes I'm not the most empathetic person. But God has softened my heart to the point where he says, those people matter. So I just thank the Lord that he's using us some way and somehow in a small way to plant seeds. And we just give all the honor and glory and praise to him.
Amen. Hey, can we just pray together for you guys and for the city of Harrisburg?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, thank you for Steve and Gina and their other friends who have been willing to go down on Saturdays. And God, for changing their hearts. Softening their hearts and their willingness to be obedient. We hear them say that they sometimes struggle with this, sometimes are nervous, sometimes it's hard. But God, they've been willing to go. Thank you for that. And Lord, we know you have people in all kinds of pockets around us, Mechanicsburg, Harrisburg, all the surrounding suburbs. Lord, you have people that you want to know you. And you are sending messengers, and you want us to declare. And so, Lord, we pray right now for the city of Harrisburg that has so many people hurting, so many people lost, so many people needing the love of God. Lord, would you send more messengers? And Lord, would your word move in power? Would you do the miraculous things that will draw people to yourself? Will you convict and show them your glory? And Lord, would you do the amazing things that you do? We praise you that this woman just 2 weeks ago received you as Savior. Lord, work in her heart, work in her life. Give her a testimony to share to somebody else as well. God, receive glory and honor from us, your people, that we would declare the praises of God to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much. Yeah. Hey, if you want to join them, you can talk to them later on today and find out more information. Also, we just want to remind you that in your places where God has put you, your relationships, that you can be connecting with people and sharing Christ. And we do have a Love Your Neighbor grant. We put this out before you last fall, and we want to help resource you to reach your network. Up to $50, you can apply twice a year, and we want to get this into your hands so that you can be sharing the good news of Christ. declaring praises to the world, we declare praises of God to each other as well. I'm going to be brief on this. We don't have time for full testimonies, but I'm going to say the only way you can hear what God is doing in people's lives is if you are connected with them in some way. It's great to be here on a Sunday morning. This is awesome. This is an important gathering for God's people, but you need to be in a small group or a group of friends in some way, a Christian friends, where you're encouraging each other, where you're hearing what God's doing in their life, and you're able to share what he's doing in your life. And you can pray for each other. So I'll leave it at that. And then the third one is this. We declare God's praises back to him. This is one of our roles, that we would give to God the glory that's due his name, that we would give him praise and honor because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This morning, we're going to get a chance to do that again together. We are his people. We are God's special possession. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. And as we have this role to declare his praises to him, we are going to step into this together as God's people. Listen, if he's done a work in your life, if he has done a work to save you, if he's done a work to bring you to himself, if he's working in your life today, Scripture says in Psalm 145, I believe is the reference. There's a scripture. It says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Let's go ahead and if we can get this on the screen here. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. That's our call. That's our high call. If this is who you are, now live into this. God is due glory because the credit and the praise and the honor goes to his name. Bring an offering and come before him.